Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but thy name be glory, because of thy mercy and because of thy truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Pilate asks our Lord, he says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Our Lord answers a question with a question, as he has done in the past, in the Gospels, that is, because not all questions deserve an answer. Some questions are, in fact, wrong or divisive, and some questions are, in fact, unclear. In this case, unclear. The Lord questions him back and asks, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" In other words, our Lord is not simply trying to defend his own innocence, but to define the very character and the very nature of this authority in which now stands before him. For not all the authority bears the same quality or character. Was Pilate asking on his own initiative, or whether the charge was simply a secondhand thing? If Pilate's question originated with him, he was using king in the Roman sense of a political ruler. If not, then king was being used in the Jewish sense of the messianic king. Authority is a very fundamental issue, and I think of today. One may ask, is it really lacking in matters of our theological inquiry or discussion of our own day? The question in this regard to God's kingdom and this earthly kingdom may beg certain questions about the relationship between the kingdoms of the right and left. What other responsibilities does the church have to the kingdom of the left, and what authority does it bear in this other realm, if you will? What is the distinctive authority in which we see within our own community, that is our own kingdom, as we speak of within the synod, or with the relationship of the synod to the church, or that, as I had mentioned before, society? What is the question when we beg such questions of the office of the keys, if each individual has office of the keys, or has the church been the one who has received the office of the keys? No doubt when we speak the word kingdom, we mean in the sense of community, the nature and character of authority that preserve its own unity, both in the certainty of its faith and its belief in its own life. Well, one thing can be certain, that when authority is unclear, so is the certainty of its own judgment. When Pilate asked our Lord, "What is truth?" though much time can be discussed of what Pilate really meant in regards to the truth, in regards to its own meaning, one can be certain that without the clarity of authority, the very nature and character of this authority, without it, also there is a lack of clarity in regards to what we mean as truth. When authority in its very nature is clear, then we may be certain of truth. As members of our Lord's kingdom, which dwells in mercy and in truth, we may be very certain that when God speaks, his words are true. When God speaks through his Son and says, "Your sins are forgiven," this in fact is true and most certain and clear. His kingdom is not of this world. In other words, our Lord makes distinction between such kingdoms of heaven and such kingdoms of this world. Perhaps such a distinction is there in order to make clearer of his words, of his authority, the very nature and the character of this kingdom which comes to us in Christ, in his body and his blood. It is certain that our Lord makes distinction of authority in this matter so that we may be certain of a life that we have received from above, that we are indeed part of his kingdom and benefactors of his own love. This seems to be a very fundamental issue of the early Christianity, one of God's divine economy, but also one of authority. Who has the authority to speak that we may be certain that God has come to us and has declared us righteous and holy people of God, as his gifts come to us with all certainty, that we may know that we are part of his own kingdom. But when this authority is muddled by any manner of confusion, lack of clarity, so is muddled the gospel, and that life which comes to us in the person of Christ Jesus. Shame to the pastor who places question or doubt within the ears of his own hearers, who place other things above this very clear proclamation and the very giving of this life from heaven in God's kingdom, with the company of his angels and archangels, and of all the saints. Blessed is the pastor who brings his kingdom, God's kingdom, with all certainty to his people, that they may be relieved from the struggles and wrestles and the discomforts of this life, in order to taste and to receive that which is from heaven above with all certainty, that they may look through their own tears and rejoice of a certainty that is not of them, but that of Christ and his own kingdom, that we may live within a certain community of truth and a certainty of life. For it is Christ who comes to judge the living and the dead. In some ways, this may be uncomforting, knowing such a great distinction is there, such an expanse between such judgments which are made of both heaven and hell, of life and of death. But when there is also such distinctions made, so is the distinction we have, that we have the certainty that this is true, and it is clear of where this judgment lies, and the life which comes to us in Christ Jesus. Sin is where authority and the lack of clarity is found elsewhere, or the lack of authority is found elsewhere. So such things are not clear to us. But Christ, in fact, is the truth. He is, in fact, the incarnate truth that has come to us, that we again may be certain that God has come to us and we bear this certain life. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.